Good evening. I'm Ben Jacobson. I'm one of the pastors here at Hope, and want to add my welcome to Pastor Mike's. It is so good to gather here during this Advent season as we prepare for the coming of our Lord and the birth of our Savior. Today we continue our sermon series, The Character of God, and as we do, we remember that God is faithful. We remember that there are a lot of thin promises in this life, that there are a lot of things that fail us, but we have a God who is faithful, whose love and mercy will never, ever fail us, even when everything else does. Pray with me as we begin. Father in heaven, you are faithful in your steadfast love. It endures forever. Lord, we live lives that bend and break, lives that can seem so fragile. And so we ask tonight that you would ground us in your faithfulness, that you would give us faith to live with confidence and in hope. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I can not imagine the feeling that William Budd Post had on February the 24th of 1988. He'd been scraping by for years. He'd been driving trucks for a carnival. He'd been painting. He would cook in restaurants. He'd even written some bad checks to try to get by. And he thought to himself, if only he had some money, everything could be different for him. And so it was with that promise in his mind that he pawned a ring that he had for $40, and he went out and he bought 40 lottery tickets to the Pennsylvania State Lottery. And on February 24th, he won $16.2 million, more money than he could have ever imagined. And it was this promise for him of new life, except it wasn't. It broke down really quickly for him. He spent like crazy. He leased a restaurant for his siblings. He bought an auto dealership. He bought an airplane that he didn't know how to fly. And his spending eventually broke down relationships with family and with friends. And 3 months later, after he had won $16 million, he was $500,000 in debt. And it only got worse from there. And when he died, he had $1 million in debt. He'd put his faith in money and all that it had promised, but it failed him. Ryan was a college senior, and it was the night before a final paper was due. I think we've all been in this place before. The library was open until 10, and Ryan was in there tucked in the back corner by all the stacks of books, and he was typing away under the light of this little lamp, and he was one of the few people that was left there. Everyone else had gone home, and it was just before 10. The library closed at 10, and he had written 18 pages, and he decided, I'll do the last two in my dorm room. So he closed up his laptop. He bundled up, hat, coat, gloves, scarf, you know the drill. And he walked out into the snow. Eventually got back to his dorm room, and he sat down at his desk, and he opened up his laptop. And there was nothing there. The paper was gone, erased. It hadn't saved. Ryan had trusted in technology, and why wouldn't he? But that day it failed him. It had promised that it would save his work, and it didn't. And his heart sank, and if you've ever been in that place before, you know the feeling. There's nothing to do but start over. A woman named Maureen, she was shocked when she realized that she was experiencing heart failure. She'd been to the doctor after she'd experienced some shortness of breath, and she knew that there was heart disease in her family. Her father had died from it a year before. All of her uncles had it, but she'd done everything that she could do in this life to avoid it. She played tennis, she ran, she worked out, she ate well, she didn't do anything to excess. She seemed healthy, she felt healthy, and she thought that she was, but after some tests, the doctor explained to her that her heart, it just wasn't working properly. It was too weak to pump like it should. And so the rest of her life, She was going to have to deal with that. And it was going to be a long road. She sat in her car crying after the appointment. She was sad and she was mad and she was confused. She was trying to talk through all of this with her sister. She'd put her faith in her health and it had promised her a good and long life, but it had failed and now everything was different. You and I, we were like Bill Post and Ryan and Maureen. You and I, we put our faith in lots of things in life, in money and in health and in technology, and we should put our faith in those things. We should do our best to earn and save and be healthy. We should use technology for good. We should walk through this life with some trust, but eventually, like those three, all of us are going to reach a point where the things of this world fail us because they can't keep the promises that they make. The things that we hope in, the things that we stand firmly on, the things that promised us a good life, eventually the things like bank accounts and health and governments and family and friends, the plans that we make, the dreams that we hope for and work for, those things, they can fail us. We can fail ourselves. And the question that I have tonight is then what? What do we do then? Where do we go then when the promises of people, when the promises of the world are broken? What's going to hold us then when everything else breaks down? Where can we put our faith in this unfaithful world? Our second reading today, it came from 2 Timothy. The Apostle Paul is writing this, and he's in prison in Rome, and it feels to him like lots of his friends have abandoned him. And he feels that his death is coming soon. It feels as if the world has failed him, and in so many ways it has. But from that place, Paul writes to his friend Timothy, this young man, this co-worker in the gospel that Paul has mentored and brought along. And Paul writes to Timothy to encourage him. And of all the things that you could write from a cold, lonely, dark prison cell close to death, Paul decides to write about the faithfulness of God. He says, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ who was raised from the dead. And remember also that we died with him. And we live with him. A few lines later, he writes these words. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Paul wants Timothy to remember that when the world comes crashing down, that when everything else fails, even when our own faith seems to fail, God is faithful because it's who God is. And it's one of the things, one of the only things that you and I can count on in this life. There's a pastor and a thinker whose name was A.W. Tozer, and he wrote some books called The Attributes of God, and in that volume, one of them, he wrote about faithfulness. He wrote these words, God will never cease to be what he is and who he is. He will always be true to himself, to his works, and to his creation. And you and I, we are that creation. And God is faithful. And he promises something. He has promises for you and for me. He has promises for this world. And he won't break them no matter what the situation, no matter who's involved, no matter how deep the trouble is, no matter how big the weight of sin. God is faithful in his love. He's faithful in his mercy. He is faithful in his grace. And he is faithful in his forgiveness. And he will never let us down. Our world, even our faith, those things are going to fail us. But God's never will. Because faithfulness is who God is. It's a part of the depth of his character. When I was in seminary, I took a class on the Psalms, and we learned all about the gift that the Psalms are for us, these treasures that God has given us. We learned about lament and joy and praise, these things that are found in the Psalms, and we learned about praying them and singing them and reading them. And at the end of this class, it was a January class, at the end of January, we all had to do a project. We all had to do a presentation on one of the Psalms. And one day our professor came into class and he said, "I want each one of you to pick a Psalm." And we went around the room and we picked a Psalm. And when he got to me, when it was my turn to pick, I sort of smiled. I thought I was really clever in this moment, and I said, "I'll take Psalm 117. And the professor laughed because he knew what I was up to. It's the shortest one. 2 verses. Then he said something that I'll never forget. He said, "You know, it might be the shortest one, but it's also one of the most important. Because I believe that the whole story of Scripture hinges on that psalm." And then I didn't want to do it. Here it is. "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord." And as I wrestled with those 2 verses to prepare for that presentation, I realized exactly what he meant, and I saw the immensity of the faithfulness of God. The story of Scripture, it's dense and it's full and it's complicated, but at the same time, it's very simple. Sin had ripped God's people away from him over and over again. God's people had broken their promises to God. They promised that they would serve him, and then they did for a while, but then they forgot. They promised that they would worship him, and they did for a while, but then something new and shiny came along, and so they decided that they would worship that. They promised that they would follow him and place their trust in him, and they did for a while, and then they didn't, and they weren't very good at it, and neither are we, but God never, ever, ever went back on the promises that he made, because his faithfulness is forever. And it's in that faithfulness and by that faithfulness that he came into the world. His never-ending faithfulness is the hinge that opened the door to salvation. As Jesus was born into the dirt in Bethlehem and laid down in a manger, it's by his faithfulness that he preached and he healed, and by his faithfulness that he carried a cross and was nailed to it and suffered on it and died. And it's by his faithfulness that he did what our faithfulness can never do. He bore our sin, and he forgave us, and redeemed us, and gave us a new life. And in the death and resurrection of Jesus, God made a claim on us, a claim that says that nothing in this world can separate us from him, that we are his and he will never let us go. Jesus said that nothing will snatch us out of his hand, because his hold on us is strong and it's faithful. It's who God is, and it's who God always will be. There's an old story about a father and a daughter who went out for a winter walk. On a day like today, they were out for a walk, and they walked through the woods, and they walked through the prairies, and they walked into the valleys and over the hills, and eventually they came to a river. And the river was deep and it was flowing fast, but over the river someone had built a little bridge. It was high above the water, and they had built it kind of roughly, but it looked pretty sturdy. And the father looked at the daughter and he said, "Hold my hand as we go across." And this little girl, she looked up at her dad and she said, "No, Dad, you hold mine." And the father said to her, Well, what's the difference if you hold my hand or if I hold yours?" And she said, "If I hold your hand, I might get scared and accidentally let go. But if you hold my hand, I know that you will never, ever let me go." That is the faithfulness of God. when you put your hand in His, when you trust in Him, He will never, ever let you go. People of hope, folks who are gathered here tonight, your life, it might seem out of sorts tonight. Your life might feel like this wake of broken promises. You might feel lost. You might feel like the things that you placed your hope and your trust in have failed you. But know this today. Remember this tonight. God is faithful. God is faithful. And He has a promise for you. He has a promise for you when your health fails, or when the money runs out, or when the computer fails to save all your work and you have to start over on that, or something else in your life when you have to start over again. He has a promise for you that He's going to sit with you when you're sobbing in the car, a promise that He's going to walk with you on the road of addiction, that He's going to wait with you in the waiting room of a hospital. He has a promise that He's going to pick you up when you fall, that He's going to forgive you when you ask. He has a promise that when you make a mess out of everything, He will help you to redeem it. A promise that when your faith fails, His won't, and He will encourage you. A promise that even when death comes, He's gone before you, and that in His death, you will have eternal life. When the world breaks its promises, God is faithful. So put your faith in Him. Put your hand in His hand. He's holding it out to you. He's offering it to you. Put your faith in His faithfulness. Put your hand in His hand and know that He will never, ever let go. Let's pray. God of all grace, we praise You because Your mercy is new every day. Because Your faithfulness knows no bounds. You promise to love us. You promise to forgive us. You promise to hold on to us. And Jesus, You've shown how deep Your faithfulness is, that You would die for us. Help us to believe it, to trust it, and to put our faith in You. In Jesus' name, amen.